Okay, we will get started momentarily. Okay, so the last time we met in our journey through the Siddur, we were focusing on the Kelem Melech Ne'eman, which I guess to a certain degree is a bit of a bridge between Birchos Kriyat Shema and Shema. But now we need to focus on Shema. And there's a lot to do, obviously. So today we're going to do all of one pasuk. Last time we met, we did just Kelem Melech Ne'eman, three words. Now we'll do Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We'll do six words. We'll double it. We're going so quickly. We're going to double the work we did last time. So, in order to just talk about Shema, we need to first mention a statement that Rav Amram Gaon makes, which is quoted in the Tur. Rav Amram Gaon writes that Shema should be read like a Ke Prutgema Lifnei HaMelech, like a new letter that you receive from the king, which should be read be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, u'be'ziyah. It should be read with fear, with awe, with trembling and sweating. This is something which is very serious, which should, to a certain degree, weigh us down, and that we have to obviously continue to think about and meditate on and focus all of our attention upon. That's the Iker Kavana we should have when we're approaching the Shema. Which then means, if that's the case from a Rambam Gaon, that means that we should have Kavana for the entire Shema, that whatever Kavana we have during davening for Shema itself, we should have an even higher level of Kavana. And the Shulchan Aruch does write that we should have Kavana for all of Shema. Of course, we have a general concept of mitzvah srichos Kavana, that in general all mitzvahs need to have kavana, but that's not only while you're reading it, but even a preparatory kavana. Before you begin the mitzvah, you have to have a kavana. But there's an additional element of kavana which is required for Shema, and l'chadchila, that you should have that kavana for the entire three parshios of Shema. But what if you don't have kavana? What if you don't have kavana during Kriyat Shema? Do you need to repeat it or not? The Shulchan Aruch twice mentions that if you don't have kavana, then you need to repeat the entire Shema if you don't have kavana for the first pasuk. The first pasuk is Ma'akev Bidi'eved. You need to have kavana in the first pasuk. The rest of it, you don't. But if you don't have kavana in the first pasuk, then you're stuck. You have to repeat the whole Shema. Why? Because you have to recite the Shema in order. You can't read it B'Seirugin. And therefore, if you went through all three with that kavana, even for the first pasuk, you can't just recite Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and be done, because now you just read the Shema out of order, so you have to go through all three parshios again. What's this all about? What's the significance of pasuk Rishon? Well, this is a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Rabbi Meir had the opinion that you have to have kavana for the first pasuk. Pasuk Rishon needs kavana. But what is this all about? What's so special about the first pasuk of Shema as opposed to the other parshios of Shema? What makes it so unique? So the Gemara says, and Mishnah Berurah picks up on this as well, that when it comes to Shema, there's an additional element of not just kavanas hamitzvah, but kavanas halev, that there's some kavana of the heart, to meditation of the heart, if you will, that applies for Shema as opposed to anything else. And in particular, pasuk Rishon, that first pasuk, is where you need the special, extra special kavanas halev, extraordinary kavanas halev. And perhaps the idea is that's the kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, since we're accepting God's dominion, God's kingdom over us in that first pasuk. That's the kavanas halev is required for that pasuk. And therefore, if you don't have said with kavana, you'll need to repeat it a second time. In fact, the Rambam writes, thinking about the uniqueness of the first pasuk of Shema, the Rambam writes that there's a special mitzvah aseh of Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that there's no shituf, it's just God alone who rules the world. And That is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, to every day, Shema Yisrael, to proclaim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Ramban doesn't disagree that we have a mitzvah saseh to be miyachet Hashem each and every day, but he doesn't, but the first pasuk of Shema doesn't have its own mitzvah, rather it's included in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So those two, so there isn't a special mitzvah saseh through the pasuk of Shema, but they both agree that when you say Shema, you're yotzei that mitzvah saseh of being miyached HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So clearly, this first pasuk is the most fundamental aspect of emunah, of our emunah, and therefore in this Shema declaration, and therefore it certainly requires our attention and our kavana. And if we can't have proper kavana, we have to repeat the Shema. And because of this, we have a number of very interesting halachos that apply specifically to the first pasuk of Shema. Granted, Shema and Ve'ahavta are all those six psukim are all one unit. But nevertheless, we have extra attention that for davening with regards to tefillah, extra attention must be paid to that first pasuk. So what are the different halachos that are connected to Pasuk Rishon? And after we get through some of the halachos, we'll get into a little bit machshava / trying to understand the pasuk. So the first thing that the Torah writes that there is a minhag sfarad, which became a general custom, to say the first pasuk of Shema out loud. Everyone should say the first pasuk out loud. What a nice idea. Again, what's the purpose? It requires an additional kavana, additional focus. And if you're saying it out loud together as a unit, it'll be much easier then to have the proper kavana. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes that when the Shliach Tzibur gets to Shema, he should say Shema Yisrael out loud so that the people are focused. He'll just say Shema Yisrael so that everyone realizes, oh, we're up to Shema, and kind of get everyone on the same page, get them all together to say Shema. In fact, if you're in shul when they're saying Shema and you're not even part of the minyan, you're required to say the Shema. Because if everyone's being mekabel ol malchus shemayim, you can't sit there and pretend and not. It almost sounds like you're not accepting God's dominion over you. And therefore, everyone has to recite the Shema, even if you're not participating. Then there's one of the more fascinating aspects of the first pasuk of Shema is a statement that's made in the Gemara Brachos. That is, I believe it was about Rebbe, that b'shash shemavir yadav al panav, mekabel ol malchus shemaim. That what happened? How was he mekabel ol malchus shemaim? He covered his face. He covered his face when he was mekabel ol malchus shemaim. So why in the world was he covering his face when he said the Shema? So the simple answer is, what do you mean? It was to help him with his kavana. There's so many distractions all around the room. So you put your hands over your eyes, and now you block the view of the rest of the room, and now you can have kavana. So that was the purpose of putting his yadav al panav, putting his hand on his face. There are other options. The Rabbeinu Yonah talks about the possibility that he move your eyes in different directions. The eyes go up and down. You're supposed to move the eyes ba'arba ruchos as some form, almost like shaking the lulav, right? To go east, north, west, south, keep on moving the eyes in different directions. So he didn't want other people to see what he was doing, and that was the way that he knows, as the Shulchan Aruch talks about, the fact that God is sholeit over the arba ruchos. Therefore, they're separately, there's a minhag to move your head in four different directions. So they warn not to shake your head east, west, and then north, south, because it looks like you're making the sign of a cross. So you go east, north, west, south. So the similar case in the Gemara, possibly, says Rabbeinu Yonah, was that he was moving his eyes in all these funky directions, and he didn't want people to see, so he covered his eyes in order so that no one would know what he was doing. But that was how he was mekabel ol malchus shemayim. So these are the different possibilities, the two more well-known possibilities as to why you're covering his face with his hands. Which, by the way, the idea of covering your hand over your face means you don't need to close your eyes. You just have to cover your eyes, and that would suffice in order that other people in order that you can get rid of all the distractions. That would be the simple understanding. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is a little bit strange. It's different than the language of the Gemara, and that brings up all these different questions. The Shulchan Aruch writes that we're supposed to put Yedehem al Penehem. Put your hands on your faces. Yedehem al Penehem. So now it says Yedehem al Penehem. Well, hold on a second. Your hands? Why your hands in plural? You're supposed to use more than one hand? The Eli Rabbah, I believe, no, the Rav Ephraim Greenblatt in his Riva Vos Ephraim brings down an opinion that you put your one hand, your right hand, in your left hand, and you cover your eyes. You cover your face. That's how you have two hands. But the Arizal says, two hands? What do you mean? No, it's obviously one hand, because you need one hand holding your tzitzis and one hand with your hands covering your face. So these are, again, all these different fascinating discussions, all because of the importance of the first pasuk of Shema. Then there's a question from the Gemara, which is, Yadav al panav, put your hands on your face. Your hands on your face? What about your eyes? What's important? Is it covering your face or covering your eyes? Am I supposed to go all the way over my face? Or obviously, I'm just covering my eyes. So that's already a discussion. Does it mean, so the Shari Tshuva says, when it says, Yadayim al panehem, your hands on your face, it doesn't mean on your face, it means on the eyes, obviously. So then the question is, on your eyes literally? Meaning I should be holding my eyes and covering them? You see, when people do Shema, I'm wearing glasses, so that's another discussion we'll get to in a moment. But people would literally take their hands and push into their eyes. Is that what you have to do to get Kavana? There's another opinion that I saw brought down, I forget where, which is to make your hand into a shakai, make it into a shindal ad yud. You have three fingers above your eyes, so it's covering your face, certainly is your forehead. You have your thumb making the dalid and your pinky making a yud, and that's how you're doing Shema, so you're making shakai. That's another possibility. By the way, the Primagadim says something really fascinating. The Primagadim says Shema is an acronym. What's the acronym for Shema? Sheomrim al Einehem. That you say it on your eyes, not on your face. I thought that was a cute idea. But this is a part of the discussions. Again, so we said one hand or two hands. The Mishnah Berurah says, no, just your right hand. You said your right hand, not your left hand. Oh, well, your left hand is holding the tzitzis, so your right hand, your yad yamin, is your stronger hand. These are all fascinating discussions that come up based on the importance of and focus that we need for Pasuk Rishon. And by the way, if you look in the language of the Shulchan Aruch, it just says Yesh Noagin, and this is the minhag to do. We're not dealing with any Chiyuv D'oraisa to cover your eyes. Saying the Shema, okay, we understand we have to fulfill our mitzvah D'oraisa, but the covering all that other things, these are all additional minhagim, but because it's so important, it's created, spurred all these different fascinating conversations. Another conversation, what if you just close your eyes? Or do you even have to close your eyes? Before we said you're just covering your eyes so that you get rid of the distractions. Well, what if I close my eyes? Well, if I close my eyes, I get rid of the distractions. So maybe I don't need to put my hand over my eyes. Mm-hmm. So Rav Ephraim Greenblatt said, well, what do you mean? The Gemara was talking about where he put his hand over his eyes. How can you say you don't put your hand over your eyes? But others say that if the Ishei Yisrael quotes a Sefer Orach Neman that says if your kavana is better when you're reading the words out of the sitter than when you're closing your eyes, then read the words out of the sitter. That gives you more kavana. So you can go in many different ways. And what if you're wearing glasses? Do you have to put your hands under your glasses to say Shema, or put it over your glasses? So these are all really interesting discussions about when it comes to Shema. And like, as we always like to say, only in with regards to Klal Yisrael, who are so medaktic in mitzvos, that even for the slightest minug, we're going to be arguing about what's the best way to accomplish and fulfill a proper minug. It's a beautiful thing. Sometimes it's aggravating, but at the same time, it's so beautiful to see how medaktic we are in mitzvos. But there are two other pshatim that I wanted to share with you about covering your eyes, which I thought were poignant and worthy of knowing. which is, and they're actually both completely the opposite. One idea is as follows, that the reason why we cover our eyes when we say the Shema is that we believe what we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we don't know what happens outside of our eyes. We think we see what's going on in the world. We don't know what's going on. We don't understand. When we cover our eyes, what we declare before HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we believe with full faith in you, Hashem, despite the fact that we can't really see or understand what is happening in our lives or the world around us. Shema Yisrael is a declaration of Kabbalos O Malcho Shemaim, despite the fact we don't know what's going on. We think we know. We think we can see everything, but we know that we're really blind to what's happening in the world around us. So it gives you a lot of meaning when you say the Shema. It gives you a whole new perspective on what you're doing when you're saying Shema Yisrael. That is part of the Kabbalos Ol Malchus Shemaim, is that I don't really see what's happening. I can see, but I don't have the vision. That's probably the best way to do it. I don't have the vision, but I have the eyesight, just not the vision. Rabbi Schwab in his Siddur has a different pshat, which is the reverse, which I thought was also nice, which is that when we're covering, it's connected to the idea of removing all the distractions. Putting our head over our hands over our face is to say that there are so many things around us that can give us reasons, or people who try to convince us to reject God. Don't be mekabel ol malchus shemayim. Don't be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, we say, no, leave us alone. We don't want to hear you. We don't want to talk to you, right? When somebody has had enough of others, they kind of retreat into their own element. So that's exactly what we're doing. Leave me, Shema Yisrael, this is it. I don't care what you think, what you believe, what you say. You're great. Keep your opinions to yourself. I'm not interested. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So these are a couple of the ideas behind covering our face. I spent a lot of time with that section, but there's a lot to talk about. It's really interesting. But let's continue a little bit more. When it comes to the Shema, again, what else is unique about the Shema? We're told by the Echad, by the Ches, we're supposed to elongate it a little bit, thinking about Kabbalos Ol Malchus Shemayim. By the Dalid, we're supposed to think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rules over the four directions of the world. So these are all, again, all within this one pasuk. There's so much kavana that takes place. If you look, and I've showed you that Kabbalistic siddur that I have, there's so much based on the Arizal. I can't even begin to understand what's going on in those psukim. But there's so many different kavanas that are required in order to fulfill the mitzvah of reciting Shema Yisrael properly. There is another fascinating halacha which is connected to the importance of Shema Yisrael, and that is not saying Shema Yisrael twice. And the way the Shulchan Aruch writes it, saying Shema Shema, or even saying the whole pasuk back, you know, consecutively, is problematic because it sounds like you're talking to two different gods. Shema Shema, hear, hear. You want this one to hear and that one to hear. Or you say the whole pasuk, you're saying Shema Yisrael to this one and Shema Yisrael to that one. You don't say it twice. That, by the way, if you ever wonder, by Vidui or Ni'ilan Yom Kippur, we say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times because we connect it to that. We're piercing the seven Rekios HaShemayim. We say Baruch Shem Kvar Mechusa Li'ilam Boed. We say it three times. But Shema Yisrael we say only once. Why say it once? Isn't Shema Yisrael more important than the other ones? The answer is it is more important. But we only say it once because it would be Mechzi Kishtei Rishiyos. It looks like we're talking to multiple gods, so we only say it one time. That's the reason for that. Okay, so that is a lot of the different halachos associated with the Shema. Let's move on to the translation of the one pasuk. We'll just spend a little bit of time. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. What's hear, O Israel? Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the mitzvah is to hear? The mitzvah is not to hear Shema. What's the purpose of hearing it? Hearing it doesn't do anything for us. We have a mitzvah to have kavanas halev. We have to internalize it. We have to understand what we're saying. Shema Yisrael doesn't mean hear, O Israel. It means understand, Klal Yisrael. You have to internalize it. And I give the example, the best way to understand it is that when yeshivish people are having a discussion, they'll say, and you explain, and one guy is able to successfully explain his opinion to the other. What do they say? They don't say, I get it. Oh, now I understand. They say, I hear. That's what we're doing in this situation. It's I hear. Shema Yisrael is I hear, I understand. Not simply I'm listening, but I've internalized it. I understand. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now the question is, the other question that is asked, or Chashochan brings this down, which is, Shema Yisrael, understand Klal Yisrael, that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, Hashem Echad, our God is one. What's the goal here? To say that our God is one? If the goal is just to say that our God is one, then just say our God is one. Why do we need to add in Hashem is our God? If you say Hashem is one, if the goal is, obviously each one is different. Hashem Elokeinu teaches us that Hashem is our God, and then Hashem is one. They're two separate statements. But if the purpose here is to be miyached Hashem, just to say that God is one, why do we need Hashem Elokeinu in this context? So the Aruch HaShulchan quotes Rashi in a pasuk in Sefanya, which is to say as follows, which is that Hashem Elokeinu means, Hashem Elokeinu means now. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, God is Hashem is our God now. And Hashem Echad, God will be our God in the future as well. So it's not simply Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that by virtue of the fact that God is, there's God is one and God is ours, but rather it's a statement about the present and a statement about the future. So those are two different ways to understand what we're saying here. Perhaps both are right. So the kavanas that we should have when we're saying the Shema without trying to rush through it, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, God is our God now, God is our God in the future, Hashem Echad, we're being mekabel ol malchus shemayim, understanding that Haya Hove Ve'yiye. If you notice, obviously in the Chumash, but also in the Sidurim, that in the Shema, we have the Ayin of the Shema, and the Dalit of Echad are larger. Ayin and Dalit Rabasi, the Ayin and Dalit are large. What's the significance of that? Why is the Ayin large and the Dalit large out of all the other words? So Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch writes that the large Dalit is there so that you don't confuse it with a Resh. They wanted to make sure you understand Hashem Echad, not Hashem Acher. Hashem is somebody else. No, Hashem Echad. That God is one. That's obviously really important because we'd be heretics if we say Hashem Acher. Means we don't believe in God. So the Dalit was made larger so as not to make that mistake. What about the Ayin? So Rav Hirsch writes that the Ayin is large so that we don't confuse it with an Aleph. When you say Shema, you might think it's like Shema. Maybe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I'm not sure. Maybe he is. No, it's Shema. Here, this is it. Understand? This is who our God is. Our God is one. That is the idea from Rav Hirsch. I saw a beautiful idea from the Bnei Yisachar. I ran into this Bnei Yisachar just this past week because I was reading his Maimer on Mar Cheshvan. And at the end of his Maimer on Mar Cheshvan, he mentions this vort with the Shema. He says as follows. Kriya Shema, when we say Shema, we're giving Eidos, we're giving testimony. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We're testifying, we're making a declaration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And we know that if a person is pasul le'edus, if you're not deserving or worthy of being a witness, if you're invalid, if you're an invalid witness, then your Shema is not going to be accepted. Your testimony won't be accepted. And that is why the Ayin and Dalit are large. It means aid. It reminds us about the edus that we're giving. When we say Shema, it's not just a Baruch Sh'amar or an Ashrei, which obviously are very important. It's not a Shemona Esrei where we're standing Lifnei Melech Malchei HaMelechim, which is, of course, it's important. But this is edus. And if we're Pasul Edus, our Shema is not going to be accepted. Our Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim is invalid. And that's the key, says the Bnei Yisachar. Ayin Dala, that's the aid. Never forget that we're giving Eidos. That's a beautiful, beautiful thought. Two last ideas. One is a statement from the Eli Rabba. The Eli Rabba writes that the Aseres HaDibros are alluded to throughout the Shema. And you see it in a number of Sidurim. They'll put all the Aseres HaDibros within the Shema, like on the top. They'll tell you which of the Aseres HaDibros, which Dibur is connected to which part of the Shema. And in the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael, we have two mitzvos, of two of the Aseres HaDibros, I'm sorry. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yiyelecha Elohim Achirim. Elohim Achirim. Those first two of the Aseres HaDibros are already alluded to in the first pasuk of Shema. So that is a fairly extensive overview of just the first pasuk of Shema. But I did want to share with you one last idea, which perhaps I saved it for the last because it's the most powerful of all the ideas that we've shared today, which is as follows. You know, Shema for us is a pasuk that is on our lips at all times, and particularly in times of Eis Tzara. We know that when people, when our brothers and sisters, our parents, our grandparents, were sent to the gas chambers, there's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. People are dying, Al Kiddush Hashem. Shema Yisrael, that's on everybody's lips. Where does that even come from? Shema Yisrael is on everyone's lips. So Rav Chaim, so I'll share with you an idea from the Mor V'Shemesh. The Mor V'Shemesh writes as follows, that he says, when it comes, if you think about the story of in Parshas B'Shalach, he writes this in Parshas B'Shalach. In Parshas B'Shalach, Klal Yisrael is leaving. They left Eretz Yisrael. They're running towards the Yam Suf, and they realize that, wait a second, we're trapped. We have the water on one side, and we have the Mitzrayim on the other side. Where are we going to go? Vayisu b'nei Yisrael es einayim. They lifted up their eyes. They didn't know what to do. V'hinei Mitzrayim nosea achareihim. Vayiru me'od. They got very afraid. Vayitzaku. They cried out. What exactly was happening here? So I'll read to you the words from the Mor V'Shemesh. It says, Yesh lahavin. Ma haisa yirasam. What exactly were they so afraid about? Halo yedu mize sheyirdufu Mitzrayim achareihim. Did they not know that Mitzrayim was following them? And that God was going to save them? Well, what exactly was happening? They didn't think, they thought that their fortunes were going to change. This is all a joke. So they were saying, turn around, we're done. Oh, fake out, break out, we're going back to Mitzrayim. What's happening here? Amnam Yesh Lomar Beze says, this is what you have to understand. Kihine, Einenu Roos. We have seen with our very own eyes, Be'es Asher Yiya Ish Yisraeli Batsara Shelo Savo. We know that whenever a Jew is faced in a situation that none of us should have to deal with, a tragedy that no one should have to endure, Az Yikabel Alav Ol Malchus Shemayim, at that very moment, they accept upon themselves the yoke of God's kingdom. V'yomar, and they say, Shema Yisrael, they say Shema. V'davar zeh nahug bein klalos amenu. This is something which has been adopted with our whole entire nation. V'chol minhagan shel Yisrael torahu. And all this is the minhag of Klal Yisrael. When we're in an Eis Tzara, we cry out, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. U'minatzorech laseis lev. So then he continues, where does this come from? And goes on to an idea that the Iker Mitzvah of Shema is Shemitzvasa la'omra b'mesiras nefesh. We should say the Shema whenever we're in a situation of mesiras nefesh. V'im inyan ha'mesiras nefesh shurak lios nachon l'kare shmo yisbarach ba'es asher yavo lidei nisayon hine kasha halo mitzvah shema ho mitzvah tamidis. Says that Shema is, and he goes on to develop the importance of being mekabel ol malchus shemayim, the importance of saying Shema. Says Rav Chaim Falaji, says the Mor v'Shemesh, Shema Yisrael is our secret code we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash says that la'asid lavo, that when we cry out with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe we have no mitzvos, maybe we have no redeeming qualities. However, if we say Shema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say, at least look at us, we're being mekabel o'malchus shemayim. That alone should be reason to save us, should be reason to spare us. And that's the power of Shema Yisrael. And that is the pasuk that has been on the lips of every single Jew for thousands and thousands of generations. And our hope and prayer is that that tefillah is something that we only recite in good times, and not chas v'shalom when we have to deal with tzaras. A Shema to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim with a seriousness, with a kavana, which is otherworldly and extraordinary, but not chas v'shalom in a situation of life and death. That is the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And next time, we'll move on to the break in between the six psukim of the Shema, which is Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Voed. But until that time, have a wonderful night, and we'll see you then.